You are listening to the 4 Point Families Podcast, Season 1, Episode 3.
Somebody reach out, somebody carry the flame. Somebody hold me tight, won't somebody whisper my name. Destiny at its highest price, I see fear in my children's eyes. Won't somebody reach out and save our lives.
Hello there and welcome to the 4 Point Families Podcast. My name is Michael, I will be your host today. Glad you've joined us on this, the episode of November 2013. We're going to be getting out one episode for this month and hopefully one episode next month. Because of the holidays, we're kind of going to rein it in a little bit to one episode a month for these last 2 months. And then January, the plan is to kick it back up to two episodes a month until listener emails and things come in to where we need to add more episodes, then we will. But the plan, the goal for this show, as I've said before, is for content to be listener-driven. So if you're out there listening to our podcast and you're interested in what we're doing, you have any questions about what 4 Point Families is all about, you have any comments about things you've seen in the news or the media, or any questions about your life, your home with your kids, email us at 4pointfamilies@gmail.com. That's 4 Point Families, spell out the number 4, F-O-U-R, pointfamilies@gmail.com. We'd love to chat with you about it. Let's get right to it. We're going to have a short episode today and just talk a little bit about something in the news that's going on with movie ratings. Since you've got a lot of families go to the movies for the holidays, so I wanted to talk a little bit about movie ratings and how that works, what that's all about, because there's some stuff in the news about it this week. Also, we're going to talk about the night, the 4 points and 4 Point Families. This is the third point, which is night, home, away, night, and day. If you haven't listened to the first two episodes, those are home and away. This is What's the Point Night today. So we'll have you, you can go check those out at podcast.4pointfamilies.com. Follow us on Twitter at the number 4 Point Families and Facebook with the number 4 Point Families. Check us out online at 4pointfamilies.com. That's the number or the spell it out. Doesn't matter. It'll still go to the same place. But we'd love to see you at those places. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter. Cool stuff. Got a family Christmas newsletter coming out this next few weeks. So check that out. You can hear a shout out from my children and my wife. Got some good news on the news front as far as what's been going on with us, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Right now, let's talk about teen and kid news. There's an article in the Rolling Stone TV and movie section where they're talking about a movie that's coming out that I won't see, but it's a movie coming out called Blue is the Warmest Color, and it's rated NC-17 for sexual content, but that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the rating system, because this movie and some of the controversy about this movie it's causing discussion and conversation about the movie rating system in Hollywood and how it works and how it functions. If you don't know, it's pretty interesting to think, to kind of realize how it works. It started in the 1950s. 1958 is when it was established, and it's been controversial ever since. And but just to set it up, here's what's going on. This movie is rated NC-17. The movie has been rated that because of sexual content, but most movie theaters just won't play NC-17 movies because they don't think they'll sell enough tickets, so they just won't do it. But there's many who are doing it, and some of them aren't even implementing the NC-17 rule. They're not enforcing that rule with the viewers of the movies that come in. They're not making sure they're the right age. And so that has caused this discussion about this movie rating systems. A few things you may not have known about the movie rating system. The people who come together and the MPAA, the Motion Picture Association of America, they have these people who rate the movies. They come together. These people are parents, and they are selected to represent basically a sample of parents and family people in our country and what they would think a movie would, what age group they think a movie would apply to or appeal to. That's how they rate it. Nobody knows who these people are. It's anonymous. They're not allowed. The group meets together, but they know who they are, and it's top secret. Nobody knows who these people are. Nobody knows what they use to determine what makes a movie rated R or rated PG-13. This is probably why you may go watch a movie rated PG-13 and end up having to leave being offended by something or bothered by something, disturbed, because you can't believe that was in it. It's rated PG-13. Well, it's because there's really no legit strict guidelines on what makes a movie rated this or rated that. Language, violence, sexual content, things like that are relative for the people who rate these movies. And it depends on their opinion on what's bad and what's good. It's not necessarily a set in stone bylaws or rules for what goes in a rated R movie and won't in a PG-13, and what goes in PG and won't in a rated PG-13. And you know, it doesn't work that way. So it's pretty interesting. The other thing you probably don't know is there is no laws governing movie theaters when it comes to enforcing these movie ratings. So if your kid goes to a movie theater and they are not carded and they can go see a movie, they're a 13-year-old walking into a rated R movie, most movie theaters kind of have their policy where they will enforce these things, but there's no law, there's nothing out there to punish or to encourage or enforce on these movie theaters that they need to enforce the rules of movie ratings. And so it's really fascinating, as I was reading this article in the Rolling Stone, and you may want to check it out. It's on the rollingstone.com. I'll link to it in the show notes at podcast.4pointfamilies.com. It's called Whatever Happened to NC-17 Movies. And it's more about this movie, Blue is the Warmest Color, that I'm not talking about, but it kind of showed me and got me digging a little deeper into what the movie rating system is all about and how it works. So as a parent, what do you do with this? Well, my first thought is obviously do your own research. You need to find out what's in these movies before you allow your child to see them. I have a son who's very timid and can get very stressed out easily with some movies that he might see. And so we have to pay close attention to what we allow him to watch, because he'll watch a movie that we think is perfectly fine, but the bad guy in it will be just something that he's got some, you know, concern about, and it makes him nervous, and he's, can we please turn it off? Can we please turn it off? Or my kids don't like movies where parents aren't good. Parents become bad, you know, like the wicked stepmothers and things like that. My kids just don't like that. And so we have to pay attention. What's in this movie before we go see it? Some great places you can visit to do that. The first off is IMDb, Internet Movie Database. They've got parents' guides in there. Those are user-submitted parent guides. So it's kind of geared towards what their opinion is. But it says up on the top, basically, don't tell the people whether or not they should see it. Just tell them what's in it and let them make a choice. They believe the parents should make a choice, which I agree with completely. And so IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, that's the app that I use whenever my wife and I are arguing over what we saw this person in this movie in. We saw him in something else. What is it? What is it? What is it? And we'll argue, and finally we'll look it up, and we can find out any actor, any movie. If you don't know what IMDb is, you're missing out. It'll solve a lot of disagreements. And I'm always wrong, and that's the worst part. But it also has a parents' guide section on it now that you can look at for whichever movie you're looking up. Also, one I really enjoy is commonsensemedia.org. Commonsensemedia.org. It's perfectly named because all they do on commonsensemedia.org is they tell you what the movie's all about, what's in it. They have ratings for violence, for alcohol and tobacco and drug use. They have sexual content. Everything, and even positive role models, things like that. They rate what's in these movies, and they'll tell you, this is what's in the movie. I hope you enjoy it or don't. It's up to you, you know. And I prefer that approach. The knowledge is power. Use your knowledge to make a wise decision, because your kids are different than my kids in different ages. My kids are different than the guy's kids down the street, and they can do some stuff that my kids won't, and my kids will enjoy something that they won't. My kids watch a lot of stuff that is really for younger audiences than they are, and we're okay with that. You know, my 2-year-old daughter loves Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood on PBS, and so we watch it some, and My four-year-old is really into it, and I catch my six-year-old son kind of laughing at it sometimes. He won't admit it, but he enjoys it. And it's okay that they like younger stuff. Somebody else's kids may like the older stuff, but you know, it just depends on your kid. And so these places like commonsensemedia.org, Internet Movie Database, they don't tell you. Common Sense Media does put a recommended age. And for us, we take 2 years off of it. So if it says 7, then if our kid's 5, it's probably okay. That's just how it is with our family. So you can do that yourself. CommonSenseMedia.org or Internet Movie Database or IMDb.com, or they both have apps in the App Store or the iTunes App Store. So you can check that out. So that's the first thing, is you need to do your own research as a parent, because the movie rating system is there to basically, the reason it's put there is to keep local entertainment industries or local movie theaters from censoring movies that come out. It's to protect the people creating the movies, not to protect the viewers as much. So it's to say, hey, you can make a movie knowing that it's going to be put in a movie theater because you make it fall under these guidelines of this rating system. So it's to protect the filmmakers. If you want to protect your family, the movie rating system isn't the way to go. The way to go is doing your research, looking it up at imdb.com or on the IMDb app, or looking it up at commonsensemedia.org. That's my plug. Commonsensemedia.org doesn't even sponsor us or anything. They should, because I'm going to plug it always. I tell people all the time when I'm speaking live or when I'm doing whatever, I'm telling people, hey, you need to go to commonsensemedia.org and check that out. Go there. And I like it more than even some of the other ones. I think they started with a Christian foundation, but they don't have a Christian spin on what they do necessarily. And they rate everything there from apps to, you know, iPad and iPhone apps, to video games, to music, to movies, television shows. They rate it all. So you want to check it out. Not IMDb, but commonsensemedia.org. You want to check that out. But now let's talk about what's the point. So here we are at night, with our kids, and we're thinking about wanting to be the number one influence. That's what we talked about in the last two episodes. We talked about how to be the number one influence in the lives of our kids at home, how to be the number one influence in the lives of our kids while we're away, and talked about leaving them with influence even when they're not around you, and things like that. Well, today this episode, I want to talk about being at night, the evening time, the night time. You know, the scripture says, Deuteronomy 11, chapter 19, it says, you know, write these words on your heart, write them on your doorpost, teach them to your children when you rise up, when you lay down, when you walk along the road, and when you sit at home. And so, we are talking about night now. It's when you lie down, when it's time to go to bed, or when the day is winding down. How do we influence our kids for God? Well, the interesting thing about night, and the thing that I find the best thing, the most encouraging thing in this whole influencing our kids situation, our whole focus on influencing our kids, we're blessed in the evenings, because the evening is the only time, really, that our culture hasn't, you know, taken. They're okay with giving us the evening. Society gives parents nighttime still. You know, it's even common on television shows or movies to see parents reading the bedtime stories to the young kids, or families sitting around the dinner table. I encourage you, make priority about some of these things, especially dinner time. Your kids are going to come home at some point, and no matter how busy they are throughout the day, no matter what they're doing, at some point they're going to be home. Make a point to be home when they are. Make it a point to not be so busy in the evenings that you're out doing things while they're home, or they're out doing things while you're home and you miss each other. Make it a point to influence your kids at home, because that's the time that society gives us. You've got a good excuse. If your kids are in school, you've got a good excuse. You've got to be home, because you've got to get to bed at a decent hour. And when you come home, we will be together, and I will be, you know, you will be influencing them. But you'll say, we'll hang out. We'll play a game. We'll watch a movie together. We'll have dinner together, you know, whatever. But make sure that you make it a priority to be home. I definitely recommend dinner around the table together, making dinner a priority. It's kind of like They've got to eat. They're going to come home in the evening, and they've got to eat. And if you say, hey, yeah, I'm going to feed you, and in return, you're going to sit there and we're going to talk. You know, I think about teenagers especially. You know, how was your day today? Good. What did you do? Just went to school, the usual. Great. And you want to have the conversations. Well, when you're sitting and eating and you're sitting around a table and everybody's just kind of hanging out, the walls come down, the barriers come down, and the conversation can begin. And you can start with your story of your day and how it went and ask them if they had a good day too and why it was a good day and what they learned at school or what they learned at home or what they played. You know, I always ask my littlest girl, my girls, the littlest ones, you know, what'd you do today? We paid. So they played all day long and I knew that's what they did, but that's what we talk about. Did you have a good day? A good day. You know, my 2-year-old, good day. But I've started already. Just have those conversations with your kids at dinner time when you're sitting around the table and get them used to that talking. If your kids are older and something you've got to start it. Get them something they like to eat to where they have a reason to come to the table and make sure they're home. If you're a crappy cook, learn how to be better. You can. Anybody can. I believe it. I don't know. Some of you are like, well, let me cook for you. Then you could say it. But I believe anybody can learn to cook something. And if not, you know, get whatever you've got to get, but bring it home, put it around a table at your house, sit and eat together. Take advantage of that evening time where your kids are going to be home. Play games together. Go on outings. Do things in the evening together. Together. Don't waste family time with busyness. Your evening time can be such good family time that it's a shame when we get so busy in the evenings that we can't, we don't spend time with our families. We separate our families. And that's one of the biggest things with church these days is there's so much to do, so much of the time that we take our families and we fragment them all week long. You've got your Sunday night, your Sunday morning, Sunday night church. You've got your Monday night Bible study. Your Tuesday, you're finally home. And then Wednesday night church. And then Thursday, men's Bible study. And then Friday, you've got that event because you've got to go set things up for the event on Saturday because every other Saturday you do this outreach. And it's great and it's wonderful and it's ministry and it's awesome, but you've got to find time to minister to your family and be there for your family. Be careful not to let busyness, even doing good things, get in the way of influencing your kids and ministering to your family, being who God's called you to be to your kids. Don't waste family time with busyness. Something that we've done ever since our kids were little is if there's things that we know we shouldn't or can't take our kids to, we often just don't do those things. Whether it's a church event or a party at a friend's house or a, you know, a banquet or thing. There's things we will, there's times we will do it, but most of the time when it's the evening time. That's our family time. And we get together and we hang out as a family. And that's when I play with the kids and tickle them and wrestle them. And that's when I build Legos with my son. And that's when my wife and I, you know, get to hang out together and with the kids and influence them together, you know, because we're so busy all day long that when we come home in the evening, we have to take advantage of that time. There's a documentary that I may have mentioned before. I don't remember if I have. It's called The Lost Children of Rockdale County. It's a 1996 Frontline special, and I don't think you can view it online anymore. You might be able to on YouTube or something, but you can't on PBS. You have to buy it to watch it there. But it's about a sexually transmitted disease outbreak in a very nice, small suburban community in Georgia, outside of Atlanta, Georgia, called Rockdale County. And there was basically a pretty good-sized group of students involved in these sexual parties that they were coming together and doing things. And because of that, there was an STD outbreak in this school. And a very high percentage of students in the school were suffering from the same disease. And so this frontline crew went in to investigate this. And in a lot of the conversations and things with parents, there's one thing a father said that just broke my heart because he thought he was doing good. And he found out he wasn't. And here's what he said. He said, you know, we have family time in the evenings. I always was so proud of our family being sure. I was always so sure my kids were home so much time before they needed to go to bed so that we'd all be home together. And he said it was a priority for us. But then I realized after all this, I was wondering, why? How did this happen? We make family a priority. How does this kind of thing happen? Because his daughter was one who came down with this disease. And he said, when I think back now, I realize, You know, I was in the den watching television. My wife's in the kitchen cooking and watching TV. My daughter is in her room on her laptop, and my son is in the other room playing Xbox. And I call that family time. I call that being together. You know, it's tragic. It's a sad thing whenever a family has to go through something, and then that's when they realize they haven't been spending the time together that they need to. It's a terrible thing when the influence of the culture outweighs the parents bad enough that the consequences are on the, that there's consequences for the kids, and the parents finally see what's happening. And that's when they go, man, I wasn't influencing my kids the way I should have been. Even though I thought I was doing the right thing, I wasn't paying attention to how well I was influencing my kids. And so that dad's interview, what he said in that interview just broke my heart. It tore me down when I heard it, because I know the feeling of thinking you're doing right, and then you realize it wasn't enough, and it wasn't really as right as you thought. You were just making yourself feel better. Evening time is influencing your children time. It's the most important time, one of the most important times you have. That's when bedtime, the prayers come in. That's when talking about the Lord comes in, and reading stories, and, you know, with your littler kids, make the stories be about God, and stories that, you know, we love Dr. Seuss and the Cat in the Hat stuff and other stories like that, but it's good to just pull out one of these Bible stories and read it, or talk about. We listen to Dan and Louie, it's a ventriloquist with his dummy talking about Bible stories and stuff. It's on CD. We have it on the iPod, but we bought it on CD. And they hear those Bible stories, and we'll talk about that, or we'll just pray with them and ask them about their day, and let them ask us questions about our day, and do that kind of thing at bedtime. Take advantage of that bedtime with your kids. I remember being a teenager in high school, and every night my mom would come in and pray with me and ask if there's anything we needed to talk about. And that kind of stuff's so important and so crucial to use that nighttime. Night is crucial. That evening time is influencing your kids' time. Don't miss it. And one last thing, for those little kids who have to have a bedtime, or kids in school who need a bedtime, I recommend pushing the bedtime back dependent on what's going on that evening. You know, we have nights where the kids don't get home from dance or dance class until 6:30. Well, we usually start the bedtime routine at 7:30. So they're home and we eat, and then it's time to get ready for bed. And so I definitely recommend looking at that and saying, hey, let's just make dance night, when they come home from dance class, let's make bedtime 8:30 instead of 8, so we can start the routine at 8 and we have an extra half hour after dinner to just kind of hang out as a family and use that time and make bedtime relative, because they're going to go to sleep and they're going to, you know, your kids will think it's awesome, but they will go to bed, they will go to sleep, and they'll, you know, my kids don't sleep in if they went to bed later yet. That'll happen someday, but right now they wake up at the same time no matter what. But it's worth it. It's still worth it. And to make sure that you're hanging out with them and you're having that time to invest in them every single day. That evening time, like I said, is given to us by the culture. We can't take it for granted, and we cannot waste it and misuse it and lose it. So pay attention to the time. What's the point at night when you're with your kids? How are you influencing them? Well, just a little bit in with a word of update with how we're doing and how things are for us at Four Point Families and my family. For the next 5 minutes or so, I'll tell you. You know, we started this ministry. We stepped down in August from our youth ministry position and started working on things. And it seems like slow going until recently. It's just been hard and fast. And we spent the last month, every Sunday except one this month, we have been at a different church speaking and sharing the vision of Four Point Families. God has blessed us and is taking good care of us through that, and through the generosity of these churches taking care of us. It's been awesome to see God work that way. It's also been really cool to hear the feedback from families and parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles who are just really excited about the message of Four Point Families. So share this with your friends and your family. And we're trying to get places to speak in January and February. In fact, I'm going to be in Dallas, Texas the first couple weeks of January. And if you're in Dallas, Texas area, this is January of 2014. But if you're in the Dallas, Texas area and you've got a church that could benefit from you know, a message about influencing your kids, please drop us a line, an email at fourpointfamilies@gmail.com, or you can call us at 417-501-6551 And either way, we'd love to come and share the vision with your church. So we're trying to book for next spring. We've got some stuff lined up, but not set in stone yet. And that'll be all on the website on the events section of fourpointfamilies.com. But even cooler than that, we have made some progress in as far as making 4 Point Families an actual corporation. We are a corporation now. We got our documents back from the state a week and a half ago. And 4 Point Families is on the books with the Secretary of State of the state of Missouri as an actual nonprofit corporation. We haven't got our nonprofit status all finished up with the IRS yet. That's a big process, so I'm in the middle of that. But it's functioning, it's working, and we're moving forward, and that's exciting. Also, we had shared that we were going to become U.S. missionaries with the Assemblies of God. That process is also moving along. It felt like a lot of waiting and waiting and waiting, and now I have like 3 days to fill out this big application and get it in. I'm waiting on the email to get it still, but as soon as it comes in, that's all I get to do. I may be eating my turkey for Thanksgiving tomorrow while I'm, you know, filling out reference forms, but we're applying to be U.S. missionaries with the Assemblies of God, and it's super exciting. We're excited that it's moving through. Did our interview yesterday, and it went really well. People are very excited about what we're wanting to do, just like we knew they would be, because we're doing what God's called us to do. So that's a little update on us. Our family's doing well. We bought an RV. Look forward to some information about how to help us get that RV ready to travel. We found a roof leak that we got to fix. So anybody out there who has any extra rubber liquid roof laying around from their RV, if you want to mail it to me, I'll take it. It's about $80 a can, and I think I need two or three for my roof. So just praying for God's provision on that. And along those lines, there's now a donate button at the 4pointfamilies.com website where you can go and donate to our ministry through Square. So if you want to do that, just help us out in any way you can. But I appreciate you guys listening. God bless you very much. Go over and check out my wife's blog at inatickle.com. Some cool Thanksgiving recipe things and cool Thanksgiving crafts and fun stuff. And there's a lot of cool things that are done with our kids that you can maybe have some ideas on ways to influence your kids in the evenings at night. So thanks for listening. God bless you guys. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for keeping up with the blog and being patient with me as I try to get content out in the middle of this setting up this corporation and all this stuff. Thanks for your patience as we roll that stuff out. But God bless you. Have a happy, happy Thanksgiving, and we will see you in December. God bless.